Okay, today is July the 18th, and it's about 7:45 in the evening. You've joined us for the evening service of Weatherby House Church. And the first song we're going to sing is 454, and it's entitled, I Know Thou Art Near. Is that right?
No.
I'm sorry, what was the number?
Did you mean 453?
453, I'm sorry.
Glorious Rest.
In our journey below, there are times that we know that our names have been placed in God's book. And to follow His lead is help here to me. So for proof on His pages we look. Here we hope through His grace we shall look on His face. When the burdens of life are laid down, then to rise with the blessed to a glorious rest, and with all the redeemed wear a crown. Hear the sorrows and tears coming down through the years. See our eyes look to Him on the way. That we need His dear grace over these lives to trace. And for this we continually pray. In our work here is done at the set of life's sun. And we come to the brink of the grave. How we hope to read clear all our names written there, and to have saving grace to be ready. Here we read in His Word, He will listen the court when we come to the end of the way. Give us, Lord, blessed peace when our breathing shall cease, as the summons of death we obey. Here we hope through His grace we shall look on His face when the burdens of life are laid down, and to rise with the blessed to the glorious rest, and with all the redeemed wear a crown. Okay, the next selection is page 52 in the Psalter, Psalm 83C. Hold on. Something's not correct.
Page 53, Psalm 106.
Page 43 in the Psalter, 83C. Page 43, Psalm 83C. Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, O mighty one. For now your foes arouse and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They need to work in your hidden ones. They say, let us go up and in their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made a covenant. The Israelites are there, the tents of Eden, the men of Moab with the Hagarines, seek evil and lack with men of Ammon. Behold the Philistia and them attire, for Asher too is come and joins their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera, Kishon's brook. At Eden they were all annihilated, and they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oren met the chiefs, their lords like Zeba, who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them like whirling dust clouds. Make them like pits of chaff before the wind, like fires that burn in the woods, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your storms and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation, and let them seek your name, Jehovah, then. Let them be terrified and shamed forever, and let them be dismayed and be destroyed. Let them know you alone, you are Jehovah. You are the one that's fire all the earth.
Okay, the next one we're going to sing is 538. 538.
Help us, Lord, each hour of need, thy heavenly succor give. Help us in thought and in word and deed, each hour on earth we live. Oh, help us when our spirits weep, with contrite anguish sore. And when our hearts are cold and dead, oh, help us, Lord, the more. Oh, help us through the prayer of faith, more firmly to believe. For still the more the servant hath, the more shall he receive. If strangers to thy holy call, imploring at thy feet, the crumbs that from my table fall, 'tis all we dare entreat. But be it, Lord, of mercy all, so thou wilt grant but this. The crumbs that from my table fall are light and life and bliss. Oh, help us, Jesus, from on high, we know no help but thee. Oh, help us so to live and die as thine in heaven to be.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day where we can worship you and study your word. We pray that you would open your word to us. Pray that you would grant unto us your Holy Spirit in this service, and that anything that is said would be done to glorify and honor your Son. We also pray for those who are hurting tonight, in their physical bodies or in their spiritual world that they're living in. You know all the hearts of your people, and you have sent your Comforter to cause us to be able to go through this life with a sense of joy in you. Pray that you would give us your joy. We thank you for your work. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. We pray that you would help us to be sorrowful for our sins, and when we do sin, that we would repent and turn back to you. We pray that you would also continue to give us your guidance each and every day that we walk in this sin-cursed world, and that we would endure till the end. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to be looking at some scriptures tonight. One of the things that we need to remind ourselves of is why Jesus Christ came into this sin-cursed world. Christ did not come into this sin-cursed world just to do miracles. He did not come into this world just to turn water into wine or to raise Lazarus from the dead or to heal the lepers or to do wonderful works for the poor people. But according to God's word, Jesus Christ came into this world to save His people from their sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 53. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Now, I want to look at some scriptures tonight. I want to start with Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 10 says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. I'm so glad that God has not dealt with us after our sins. If He had dealt with us after our sins, we would be doomed. We would have no hope. It says that He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. How is it that God cannot punish us for our sins? How is it that He can be just and still allow us to go free? Because He was a substitute for you and me if you're one of God's elect. That's how. Many people are not teaching the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became our sin bearer. That's why He hung upon the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary to be a perfect sacrifice so that God would be placated and our sins could be forgiven. He hath not dealt with us after our sins nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, because Christ has taken our sins upon Himself. Now, I want to look at a passage in Job, 13th chapter, the 23rd verse. Job, 13th chapter, and the 23rd verse. He says, How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Is there a time in your life when you were made to know of your iniquities, when you were made to know of your sins, you know, not only against your fellow man, but also against God Himself? When David was made accountable through Nathan the prophet, David said, Against thee and thee alone have I sinned, recognizing his sin was great and it was against God. But we also must also recognize that even though Christ has forgiven us of our past, our present, our future sins, we are still supposed to turn from and repent of our sins when we do sin. says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's an ongoing cleansing process within the life of the Christian. Just because you believe in divine election and predestination doesn't give you an out not to confess your sins. Just because you were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world does not give you an out to think you're not accountable to God when you sin. That's very close to being like those who believe they have a second definite work of grace and they no longer sin. We still struggle with sin. Sin is still present within us. That's why we need to recognize how many are our iniquities and our sins. And only the Holy Spirit can make us to know our transgressions and our sins. Our prayer should be continuously in Psalm 25:18. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. I've actually heard preachers say, you don't have to pray to ask God to forgive you your sins. He's already forgiven you of your sins. Yes, you do. David did. God knew David before the foundation of the world. God chose David before the foundation of the world. God predestinated David before the foundation of the world. That didn't keep David from confessing his sins. And he says in Psalm 25:18, look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Psalm 69:5, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. We think that we can hide our sins from other people, and we think we can hide our sins from God, and that is exactly what Adam thought when he sinned. God is all-knowing, He's omnipotent, He's omniscient, He knows all things. You might be able to hide your sin from man, but you cannot hide your sin from God. We are accountable to God, and we are accountable to our neighbor. And here we see in 69:5, Psalms, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. But now, let's focus on the remedy for our sin. We talked about the reality that we still struggle with sin. We talk about the reality that we are to confess our sins when we do sin. But we see in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 4th verse says, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Those sacrifices back in the Old Testament, those bulls and those goats did not take away the sins of the people. It was their faith in the coming Messiah that would come and shed His life and shed His blood for God's people that took away their sins. Now, in the 12th verse of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, says, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ did all the work, paying the sacrifice for our sins once forever. It wasn't a continual sacrifice like the Roman Catholic Church tries to portray in their Mass. It was a one sacrifice for sins forever. He says, this man, referring to Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You know, there's a lot of people that have a problem with confessing their sins. Not only have a problem with confessing their sins to Christ, but they have a problem with apologizing when they sin to a Christian brother. And we must not allow pride to get in our way when we stumble and fall. He says in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, 6th verse, there were people there that were baptized and in Jordan and confessing their sins. We are to confess our sins. Whenever we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the mediator. He is our high priest. We are doomed if we were absent of a mediator. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. In Luke, the 5th chapter, in Luke, the 5th chapter, the 20th verse, it says, "And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." I'm glad to know that our faith originates from God. Do you remember the first time the thought came into your mind by the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ is the one who paid the price for your sins. Jesus paid it all. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. In Luke, the 7th chapter, the 49th verse said, "And they sat at meat with him, and began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" That was the question they had when Jesus said to people, "Thy sins be forgiven." Only Jesus has the power to forgive sins, not man, not a pope, not a priest. A lot of people go to priests and confess their sins. The priest has no power to forgive some from their sins. And that's what these people knew here. They saw Jesus as a man. They didn't see Jesus as the eternal Son of God, and they were questioning him, his eternal sonship. And they said, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" Well, Jesus Christ does have power to forgive sins because he's the one that paid the perfect sacrifice for them. He's the one that laid his life down freely. He's the one that shed his precious blood on the cross. And he's the one that raised from the dead. He's the one that ascended back to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Now, let's go on down to the, let's look at some passages, scripture in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, the 13th chapter, 38th verse. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," speaking of Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Where do we go to get remedy over our sin? Our sins have separated us from God. Whenever we sin, we lose communion with Jesus Christ when we're in willful, unrepentant sin. So what is the remedy? The remedy is, it says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you forgiveness of sins." That's the remedy. In Colossians, the 1st chapter, 14th verse. Colossians, the first chapter, the 14th verse says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, God doesn't just forgive us when we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God forgives us and keeps on forgiving us. It isn't a one-time grace thing. I've told people over and over, you know, I didn't have people talk about the second work of grace. I have had millions of works of grace. Christ has forgiven me millions of times. No, I'm not in any way preaching a life of sinful living. But I am preaching a life of repentance when we do sin and not denying that we're sinning. It says, 1 John 3:5, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. That's why he can take away our sin, because he was perfect. He was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Back to Luke, the 7th chapter, and the 48th verse, notice, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Has Jesus Christ told you your sins are forgiven? Have you been cleansed through the blood of the Lamb? Now we're going to look at a couple other passages. Romans, the 11th chapter. Romans 11th chapter, the 27th verse says, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. It's nice to know, and it's good to know, and it's comforting to know, that Jesus Christ not only has forgiven our sins, but that he has taken away our sins. He's cast them as far as the east is from the west. He never remembers our sins against us. They're in the sea of his forgetfulness. But when we sin, guess what? Guess who does remember our sin? We do. The Holy Spirit causes us, brings to mind our sin, and that's why it's necessary for us to go to our mediator and confess our sins. But the legality of the situation can be found in Romans, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Why can Paul say that God will not impute our sins to us? Because our sins have already been paid for. Our sins are already been paid for at the cross. Christ said it is finished. And I'm glad today that we can end on this positive note, that for God's people, if it was pronounced that Jesus Christ came into the world to save his people from their sins, he did it. He did it. He accomplished what he did do. So let us always be obedient to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, and let us go to Jesus Christ as our high priest and confess our sins, and we know that he will not impute our sins unto us. Okay, now the final selection tonight we're going to sing is page 52, Psalm 100. See, page 52, Psalm 100, C.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy everlasting, His truth endureth to all generations.
The Lord Jesus Christ glorified Your Son, and Christ Himself. Jesus Christ, we thank You, God, and we thank You.
Father, we pray that You would go with us this week, and we pray that You would help us to realize that You are the great sin bearer, and only You had the power and the precious blood to pay the price for our sins. Continue to grant us faith. Give us comfort in knowing that we can trust in Your completed work, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.